Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
McCarthy in the first three quarters, 56 yards. He's thrown for 87 yards in the fourth quarter and two touchdowns. Has a third and one right here. He's at the 14 of the Bears. Thielen in motion. Shotgun snap to the quarterback. He fakes it. He'll run it himself. Over the right tackle, the 10. Got a block at the 5. Sideline. Pylon. Touchdown. J.J. McCarthy with a touchdown run of 14 yards. This quarterback in his NFL debut is doing it all.
Really good play call. Again, everybody selling out for the run because you've been running the football extremely well. Haven't really seen any kind of zone read with J.J. McCarthy. Everybody sucks down to stop the inside run. Good read, good pull by McCarthy. And good job using that athleticism. Good block on the outside by Hockenson to spring him into the end zone.
Highlights courtesy of Westwood One. I appreciate Tanny using actual Prince music instead of the fake Prince music that was used on the broadcast last night.
And then going back to Tears for Fears, my favorite of the possible Tears for Fears songs. Yeah, the fake music on the broadcast last night, that was weird. I noticed when they played Bad Company from the album Bad Company, but it wasn't by the band Bad Company. What the hell are we doing here?
I would have figured that ABC would have had like all of the rights that they needed to play real music.
It's ESPN. Are they being cheap just doing it that way?
I don't know. It was just jarring, though.
It was like karaoke Prince, man.
Yeah, it was Muzak Prince that they were playing.
I'm down for karaoke. I'm down for doing, you know, cover versions. You know, I'm down for all of that.
But maybe versions that act as a tribute.
Sure, sure. There's a spot for all of that. But I think national TV, when you're ESPN, might be a call.
Yeah, it struck me as being a strange thing. This is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We are here with you talking about the Bears. We're going to talk with Jason Leisure coming up in the next segment. We'll get his thoughts on what happened last night, the 5-minute press conference that he got with Ben Johnson last night, and where things go from here. Now, look, Speaks, we spent a lot of time talking about Caleb Williams because that's the thing that people want to talk about. They feel that they know that they can discuss it. His future, where things stand.
It's also triggering because of our lives as Bears fans and quarterback haters.
100%. But there was other stuff that happened in this game that I did not like. I feel like this was a three-phase loss. And in the fourth quarter, a three-phase disaster. And we brought it up a little bit during transition at the top of the show. Those hidden yards, the idea of you're giving them extra first downs that they're earning by what they're doing. Their punt return game yesterday was really strong. That kid Price averaged 17 yards a return on punts. Man. And what special teams coordinators have told me is the goal for your returner, give me one first down, give me 10 yards, and our offense will kind of do the work. That's Price's average was almost double what the Bears did in punt return. I thought that Duvernay had actually a pretty good game as a returner.
Yeah, he
yesterday
did. Especially in kickoffs. I was like, oh man, I'm glad that guy's here. He knows what he's doing.
But they also had a punt blocked. They also, like, the special teams unit as a whole didn't do great yesterday.
Yeah, they missed a 50-yarder into a swirling wind.
And what was the other problem with kicks yesterday?
Cairo didn't kick it out of the back of the end zone.
And
it cost them 50 seconds or 40 seconds.
Or out of bounds. Which would have cost them 5 yards.
Right, but they could have made that choice. Or into the landing area, the landing zone, and could have done that. It could have done either way. Cairo must have told HT, who told Ben, that
I can kick it out of the back of the end zone.
Then do so, because that's what Ben said after the game. That was the plan for him, to kick it out of the back of the end zone. He just didn't do it. So that was a brutal moment. So yeah, there's on defense, some guys looked like they had. I thought Noah Sewell represented very well.
I thought he had a really good game until he didn't, and it sucks because he ended up like 1-on-1 with a Bears killer in Aaron Jones. But I thought I was so happy for him because he's one of those guys where you're like, man, that might be a sneaky good, was he a fourth round pick?
Yeah.
Sneaky good pick of a guy that can walk in and play the role of Tremaine Edmonds, because Tremaine Edmonds was kind of playing the role of TJ Edwards in the game. I thought that he was really good, and then they were like, let's isolate him and pass.
I thought Dio Odengbo represented really well for a while. He got to J.J. McCarthy, kind of whiffed on the pass rush when he got there, but J.J. escaped and fell down, and Dio got credit for the sack. A couple of times, Dio set the edge really nicely.
And then at the worst possible moment, he got suckered inside on a read option,
yes.
And J.J. McCarthy went out the back door and scored a touchdown, which I'm sure... Did you see the locker room stuff with them after the game? Man, you talk about a team that is all about their quarterback. Like the way that he reacted to it, and I give him props for this. A lot of guys feel like they have to be robotic when they're the quarterback of a team, that they can't show emotion. He let out every scream and yell that you could. By the way, O'Connell gave game balls to everyone on the team last night. Said everyone gets a game ball for how they were able to come back inside of this game. But seeing McCarthy be okay with kind of being a wild man in there, even as their quarterback, was invigorating, to tell you the truth.
That bit of sound that you sent into the show thread, which was Aaron Jones talking about J.J. McCarthy and what he had to say in the huddle, was really, really good.
You want
to
hear it?
I do. The story is after the pick six, right?
Yeah, and this is what J.J. McCarthy was saying. This was on Emmanuel Acho's podcast with Aaron Jones as the guest from the locker room.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Late third, early fourth, we were still down. And J.J. runs in the huddle, and he, after a TV timeout, he looks at us and he's like, is there any place else you guys would rather be?
Ooh, I'm like, that's what he said?
That's what he said.
I got goosebumps. And, I got goosebumps.
And we was still down. We hadn't really caught our momentum yet. And I'm like, wow, like this. And I've been telling people he's different up here, but that, to me, that showed gratitude and presence. Like, be present where your feet are. You damn right there's no other place I'd rather be. I didn't dream to being on this field. So yeah. Mentally, like, he's different up there mentally. Like, he's I would say he's very mature for his age mentally. Like, just how he goes about his business, the way he sees things, the things he, like, last year when he was out, he was scouting all the defenses and scouting the DBs and put the stars on them and ranking them like on his own.
It's Aaron Jones, who is a freaking gamer. Aaron Jones impressed by the young man, J.J. McCarthy.
Bears killer, Aaron Jones. Doesn't matter if he's wearing a Green Bay uniform. Doesn't matter if he's wearing a Vikings uniform.
You know what that reminds
Bears
me?
Bears killer.
So JJ's going out. Look around. Any place you'd rather be? As they're down in the fourth quarter.
It's very cinematic.
It is cinematic. It reminds me of Joe Montana. The story comes from Harris Barton.
On the catch?
On the offensive lineman talking about, not the catch, talking about the John Taylor touchdown that Montana threw in the Super Bowl. That on that drive, the entire 49ers team was feeling nervous, and Joe Montana's in the huddle.
The 89 Super Bowl.
49ers, Bengals. Niners down by 3, 3:20 left in the game.
93-yard winning drive. Taylor beats the weak safety for a 10-yard TD.
Joe Montana's in the huddle, right? And unbelievably, somehow spots the actor John Candy in the stands and points at him and asks the guys in the huddle, hey, isn't that John Candy? Couldn't believe the balls on him to be that calm in that game at that moment. His guys instantly relax. They march
93 yards.
Montana throws a little slant to Taylor. 49ers win the Super Bowl. No one can stop a ticking clock, but the great ones always find a way to slow it down.
Damn, I forgot that was in draft day.
Sorry, we brought in Kevin Costner to tell the story. We thought he was a better fit than
better
you.
Nothing personal. Just a little.
Whatever.
Just by a little, though.
Yeah.
Speaks.
Only one of us has had a catch with Joe Buck in at the Field of Dreams.
I feel like
and
Kevin,
it was Costner.
I feel like he's had a catch with a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people.
It is draft day.
It is not, though.
No, we'll get back to that, though. Can I ask a question real quick? And it's just us talking, right? Like, it's just the four of us,
Alex.
And you in your car, and you in your office. We're just a bunch of Chicagoans who are talking about stuff, right?
Yeah,
that's all we're doing?
Uh-huh.
Can I ask you a question, Speaks?
Yep.
I saw when Caleb came in, we were doing the show with Olin and Patrick, and I had made the joke. Like, look at that. Caleb is wearing a Brian Urlacher jersey on his way into Soldier Field. And then I saw all the pictures of J.J. McCarthy wearing an Urlacher jersey when he was at the Adrian Peterson game. I was at that game too. Adrian Peterson did everything in that game, including return kickoffs. And I was wondering,
this is JJ as a little kid at that game you're talking about. JJ McCarthy at his first NFL game, he was 4 years old wearing an Urlacher jersey back in the day.
And that picture kind of went around social media for the week.
He's wearing a claw.
And he's doing he's doing the Caleb claw before Caleb even knew that he was doing the claw.
Lawrence, was that the game where Peanut ripped the ball out of Moss's hands, or was that earlier than that? Was that that game?
No. This was, I don't think, not, you might be, No, but this was the game where I think AP, what did he go for, 245 or something like that in the game?
Something like that.
He was
challenging Peyton's record on the Soldier Field.
And I think that he set them up with a kickoff return for them to win the game. It was an amazing, I've never seen anything like it in person, in watching a running back dominate a game like that.
All right, so your question is, does Caleb, I'm looking, November 14th, 2007,
mm-hmm.
he even returned the final kickoff of the game 53 yards to set up the game-winning field goal.
He did everything.
224 rushing yards. He had touchdowns of 67, 73, and 35.
There was one of those was he was running in the middle of the field. There was a cutback towards the sideline, and he was just gone. He just disappeared.
Wow.
Any
hoodles.
My question is, do you think Caleb, who is a guy that's lived in the space of being in the spotlight and being online, do you think he saw that and was like, I can get an Urlacher jersey too, you know? I can put an Urlacher jersey on.
God. Probably. That's a fair... I didn't... Yeah, because that JJ jersey has gone viral.
If you're him and maybe you're feeling a certain way and you're like, I'm the quarterback of the Bears.
Yeah. Why is he getting all the love?
He's not the quarterback of the... I'm the quarterback of the Bears. He should have worn a Cutler.
I don't know, man. The Cutler jersey. Cutler jersey has the prison pinstripes on it now, right?
Well, if they wear those 32 throwbacks, it kind of looks like it a little bit. But Virginia said no throwbacks this year. So no throwbacks this year. But it's got
room for a pack of smokes, the Cutler jersey.
It does. He'll need them. Put it on his commissary. Put the smokes on his commissary. He's out.
I know a man who can get things.
It's totally fine.
Sometimes hope is the only thing we have.
Like, I appreciate the effort by Caleb to be like
a poster of Kristen Cavallari
and a rock hammer.
He's definitely throwing rocks at that these days.
He keeps using the rock hammer on the front of the poster. Now, he keeps destroying the poster. That's not going to work. It's not going to cover the hole you're digging. He dug himself his own hole, didn't he? I'm sorry, Lawrence.
Oh, it's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alex. I'm sorry, buddy.
It's okay, Speaks. But Lawrence, to answer your question, I think there's no question he thought about that. That played a factor in Caleb wearing that jersey.
In the choice, because he is very thoughtful about what he wears. Like he's very stylish.
And I just feel like he's been trying to appeal to this city ever since he got here.
And I think he's done a pretty good job of it, honestly.
Yes.
Other than the playing of the football.
He's a guy that wants everybody to like him, and I feel like wearing that jersey was very calculated.
Okay. All right, so I'm not wrong for thinking that it might be calculated, because at first I was like, man, that's dope. Look at him. And then I was like, oh, yeah, JJ did that with the picture, and everyone's been talking about it this week.
You mean to a guy who thinks a lot about his fashion choices and is, like, pretty proud of the choices that he makes, and once he was in GQ magazine and knows that the Bears film every player as they're walking into the stadium? You mean you think that was strategic?
That's what I
calculated, some might say.
That's what I kept thinking about on my way home in the Batcave last night.
Oh, you took the Batcave.
I had
that,
to
that was the masterstroke. Sure, you got a ball game in between you and home.
It was great.
Were you in the Batmobile? The Blackmobile?
No, I had the other car, and I'm just sitting there going, oh, look at that. This is wide open. I'm gonna try this out. Made it all the way to Bronzeville and about 4 minutes.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's great. It's great. I felt bad, but then I didn't feel bad at all.
So, what did KOC say about the touchdown? Because you had me wondering about this.
Because
I did not hear it, and that was a big moment in the game when JJ got him to bite on the zone read. Grady Jarrett said after the game that the Bears have to look at the fundamentals and make sure that they are a little more careful next time in the zone read. And in looking at the play, it's Dio Odengbo who falls for a really good move by T.J. Hockenson, but Dio comes in and leaves the edge unsafe.
He crashes down, and he does not keep contained. Here's what KOC said about that play and what it meant for that team.
They made some adjustments, you know, kind of some unscouted looks in the first half across the board. I thought they did a great job. You know, keeping us off balance with some looks that, you know, maybe you're working off of a tendency from, you know, a previous team that you played against the coordinator from, and I don't know whether it was, you know, maybe a couple of their guys being out, but they were doing some things differently than maybe what was on the sheet. And with a young quarterback, and you're trying to work through what that looks like, you've got to work through it together. And, you know, we had some miscommunication. Obviously, it got very loud at times, the negatives, you know, up against the play clock a little bit. But I thought as the game went on, you could kind of feel JJ pushing that group to get out of the huddle a little quicker, get to the line of scrimmage, get aligned. We're trying to help him out as much as we can, especially in a game where there could be some looks that you're trying to work through that maybe weren't jumping out at you on tape. So we're trying to, you know, make it as user-friendly as we can, but sometimes that takes some time. So we've got to find a way, you know, find that middle ground, continue to push the urgency and the execution. But once again, that play call in particular was really just a matter of, you know, JJ's a very, very good athlete. And, you know, the look presented itself where, you know, we felt pretty good about TJ being able to kind of lead him in from there. If, you know, it was a pull type read, he was reading the play and he made a great play. Both of his, you know, touchdown passes were critical, huge plays as well, and great execution by him.
So there's a lot in there. Like, the leadership part is interesting to me, because we kind of think of it almost binarily where it's the coach is the leader and Caleb needs to follow what Ben does. Right. And then to an extent, the quarterback has to at some times take some leadership. And the idea that J.J. McCarthy is then saying to the bench, hey, let's get these plays in faster. Let's get this in faster. I want to get out of the huddle faster. And then that turns into positivity. I don't know if J.J. McCarthy is going to be good overall. I have a lot of questions about him as a player. I do think that he's with there are three coaches that I would want to be with if I were a young quarterback, and two of them were coaching in that game last night. So he's in a great spot with a guy who gets the most out of every quarterback that he has.
McVay the other and not LaFleur?
McVay.
Not Shanahan?
McVay. They might need a quarterback. Might want to get on the phone.
Tell them you're eligible?
No.
Tell them you're ready to go?
And tell them Tyson's eligible.
I don't know if the Bears are going to give up Tyson.
No, they're not going to. But pick up a phone. You could do that.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.